This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
Mark 11, 1 through 10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you very much. Well, in the last week of Jesus Christ's life on earth, there was more crowds than ever gathered that day in the holy city of Jerusalem, mainly there to celebrate the Jewish Passover, but also to await the entrance of this miracle worker called Jesus. And when Jesus finally did come into town, it was similar to like a ticker tape parade, and a Thanksgiving parade and a St. Patrick's Day parade. Why they have it on Sunday, I'll never know. Why don't they have it on a Saturday so we can all go? It was similar to that. Thousands of people cheering him on. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we are so thankful to be here. Lord, we pray that you tell us that we can do nothing without you. Lord, we ask you to give us understanding of your word. These passages of scripture are familiar to a lot of people, and we pray not over familiar. May this day we learn something new. Lord, speak to our hearts. May we be attentive. May our ears and our hearts be open to you to speak to us, not just corporately, but as individuals. So we ask for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why all the excitement that day? Well, many people had seen the miracles and the power Jesus had performed. He already demonstrated that many times. Many people had heard about him, never seen him. Many in the crowd there that day had been healed by Jesus, or that had a loved one that had been healed by Jesus. And there was a genuine love for him by some, and for others, there was no love at all. Many were there to see more miraculous signs and wonders that they'd heard about or maybe had seen themselves with their own eyes. Many were there for that reason, other reasons. But did they really want him, was the question. Did they really want him? Others were there that were cheering him on because of his radical teaching. I heard someone say that Jesus was the first revolutionary. No one ever spoke like this man. There was no one else like him. There never will be. He was different, and people were drawn to him one way or another. You can't avoid him. Even today, there are crowds that flock to see the unusual like the Donald Trump rallies, for instance. Thousands of people are flocking. They can't get them all in. People are attracted to the unusual, to see the unusual, to hear the unusual. People like to see and hear someone who's different. People are attracted to the unusual. That's why so many freak shows are so popular. You ever been to a freak show? Ever been to in fairs in England? They have fairs and I remember when I was a kid, we used to go there every year. The fair would come into town. And they would have this sign up outside, this not a very good painting of a rat. This enormous rat. And it's got these huge fangs and there's blood dripping from it. Come and see the largest rat in the world. You've got to come and see the largest rat in the world. Every year we used to go in. You go in there, it was this thing. It wasn't a rat, it was some rodent. Huge thing, but it wasn't a rat. I don't know where they got it from, some old zoo somewhere or something like that. No fangs, no blood, but we'd already paid the money, so, you know, people are attracted to things that are unusual and different. You ever heard of the Elephant Man? The Elephant Man, his name was John Merrick. They did make a very good film of his life. And he was put in a freak show. He really was different. He had this disease, and he actually was born in the same city as me, in Leicester. I didn't know him. A bit before my time. John Merrick, born in Leicester. And if you ever get a chance to see that movie, The Elephant Man, or read about him, it's a very interesting story. People are attracted to what's different, what's unusual. They want to go here, they want to go see. That's what they did that day on Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday. Great excitement and joy for everybody, including Jesus' disciples. But for Jesus, it was a day of disappointment and sadness. All through his life and public ministry, Jesus had proven over and over again that he was who he said he was, the Messiah. He'd fulfilled all the prophecies, even that one that day in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, when the king would come riding on a donkey. Some people believe that he was the Messiah, but the majority, especially the religious rulers, the religious leaders of the day, they hardened their hearts against him and they refused to believe him. But Jesus always told the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. But they hardened their hearts. That's their choice. That's called free will. And he came riding on that donkey from the Mount of Olives. And there was no doubt about what he was doing, what he was proclaiming that day. He was proclaiming to all the people, thousands upon thousands of people that were there that day, that he was indeed the Messiah that Israel had been waiting for so long. And there he was. And this great parade, multitudes were shouting and cheering and lifting up their voices in praise to the Lord. And the crowd thought that they knew the meaning of what he was doing. That's what they thought. That he'd come to deliver them, deliver Israel from the bondage of Roman servitude. Therefore, they cheered him on even more, believing this son of Israel would set up his kingdom on earth. That's why he came into Jerusalem. That's what they thought he would do. But we know less than a week later, they crucified him. They never allowed him to set up his kingdom. One day he will. That's in Scripture. That is yet to be fulfilled. One day he will. But as we know, like I said, 1 week later, instead of cheering, they would jeer. Not cheer the Lord of glory. Another reason he came that day was to provoke his enemies to jealousy. Jesus had many enemies. He still does. Amen? He provoked his enemies to jealousy, and it worked because it was here that the religious rulers began in earnest to plot against him, to have him killed. But not till after the Passover feast, just like Jesus had predicted in Matthew 26, 1 through 5. Let me just turn to that. Jesus' promises are always true and they always come to pass. Matthew 16, verse 21. And from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. That's his resurrection. So Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, and they began to plot to kill him from this time onward. Most of the people there that day, they missed the main reason why he came. It was to fulfill his destiny and go to the cross. Go to the cross, which he did, which we will be remembering, Lord willing, next Sunday. And just like the crowds back then, there's many today who enjoy hearing the stories about Jesus. And they like to hear about the miracles of Jesus. But many miss the fact that the salvation of their souls does not come through doing good deeds or singing hymns or attending church or anything else. All those things are good things, and we need to do that. Eternal life, though, can only come through having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. Like the first time Jesus came, he didn't just come to cure people or to feed them or to bless them or to teach them or to fulfill some Old Testament prophecies. He did all those things, which is true. But the sole purpose of why he came was to go to that cross and dying for the sins of everyone who's ever been born. Amen. Only Jesus is the Savior of the world. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And until you know him in that relationship, you don't know him at all. But you can. That's the good news. Even today, you can receive him as your personal Savior. Those of us that know him should praise him and rejoice for that entrance on the first Palm Sunday. We've got good reason to praise the Lord. We've got good reason to shout and praise his holy name, because we know he's the only one that's worthy to receive the honor and the praise. All that he's done and all that he's done for us as individuals. Amazing love that God the Father should send his most precious gift, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. As a free gift, he gave his Son. And it's just in the way of illustration. So your story, are you sitting comfortably? Once upon a time, there was this wealthy man, very rich, very wealthy, well-to-do. He had a large estate, He was all set for life. In fact, he was a widower. He lost his wife a few years ago. But he had a son. And his son grew. And it was during the time of the Vietnam War. And his son volunteered. This was before the draft. He volunteered. Brave son. He wanted to serve his country. He wanted to do his duty, which he did. But unfortunately, he died over there in Vietnam. Just after the war ended, his best friend came to visit his father, the wealthy dad. And he brought a gift with him. And the gift was a painting of this man's son that he'd done while he was in Vietnam. It wasn't a brilliant painting. And by the way, this rich man, he had a lot of masterpieces in his house, in his study, hanging on the wall. Monet, Van Gogh, Picasso. Very expensive, almost priceless paintings. And this young man brought this painting to him. Very good likeness of this man's son. And he told him that his son died bravely, that he gave his life for his friends, and he was one of them. And the father accepted this painting as a gift, and the young man went away. Years later, they had an auction. The wealthy man died. And people from the art world, from all over the world, they came to that auction. They heard about the Picassos and the Van Goghs and the Monets. And they wanted to buy those paintings. So they're all seated there in the hall. And the auctioneer started the auction. And then they brought this painting out of the sun. The first one. People were looking at this painting and they didn't recognize it. And they knew it wasn't a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination. But they brought it out, they put it on the easel. And they were looking at this thing. They were talking amongst themselves and they were waiting for the masterpieces to come out. That's all they were interested in. And the auctioneer said, Who's interested in having this painting? He didn't tell him who the painting was, was the likeness was. Who will have this? Not one of them was interested. Weren't interested in having the son. But there's a man at the back. He put his hand up. Elderly man. And he came forward. And it turned out that this was the gardener that had worked for the rich man and his wife for years and years. And he knew the little boy. He knew him from a baby and he grew up with him. He said, I want the picture. He said, you want this? He said, yep. And he took it. And the auctioneer said, we're going to close the sale. Everybody was shocked. What are you talking about? We've come all this way. We've flown halfway around the world. We got the owners on the phone ready to buy this the expensive paintings, the masterpieces. And the auctioneer said, according to the owner of his estate and all those paintings, he said, whoever took this painting, they own that painting, and the auction is now over. The point being, whoever takes the son inherits everything. And this man, it was stipulated in his will that he not only took that painting of the son, he inherited the whole estate and all those paintings and everything that goes with it. And that's exactly a picture of what we have in Christ. We take the Son and we inherit everything that God gives us. I got through it. Now, whether people know that or not, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is God. He doesn't change. He's the same. And if Jesus were living today, we know that he does, spiritually. And he lives in us, thank God that he does. But if he came to earth today as a man, just like he did 2,000 years ago, performing all those amazing miracles, imagine it, and healing the sick, and raising people from the dead, and feeding the hungry, he would have a huge following, wouldn't he? The crowds of people would be there. They would cheer him on, just like they did that first Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. Today, with his radical teaching, his oratory skills, people would believe Jesus would be the greatest political leader who ever lived. They would believe that. They would vote for him. They would believe that he was the one that they'd been waiting for so long to put things right. They would flock to hear him, try to get a glimpse of him, have great expectations from him as the great new political leader. And so it was on the first Palm Sunday. They had all those expectations, just like we would today. And they would gladly accept Jesus Christ as their political ruler. But would they accept him as their personal savior? People don't change. I don't think they would. The answer is no. They didn't want to accept the gift from the Father of the Son. And it would be just the same today as it was back then. What about you? Have you accepted the gift of God's Son and received him as your own personal Savior? You see, there's no middle ground with Jesus. There's no gray areas whatsoever. There's no sitting on the fence. You either take the Son, just like that gardener did. You either take the Son, or you reject the Son, like the crowd did. You can't have it both ways. So which side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? If you say amen, if you believe it. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not for me is against me. Amen. And today, if you haven't done so already, you can make the choice to be on the Lord's side. Aren't you glad that you're on the Lord's side? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's close. Father, again, we thank you so much for each one that's made the journey to be here this morning. You for loving us, sending your Son. We don't take that for granted, Lord. So grateful that you did that. And help us to be brave, to share our faith, and not be ashamed of the one that gave himself. As we remember what he endured and suffered. And amongst the thousands and thousands of people that were there that day, only he knew why he came, even though he told his disciples, but they weren't listening. They didn't really know what was going to happen until it happened. And we thank God that it did, but what a price you paid to bring us to God. And maybe somebody here listening or on the radio that have never received you and they need to get off the fence and all they need to do is believe what you told them, that you're the Savior of the world and no one comes to the Father but by you. And all they need to do is believe in their heart that you died for their sins, you rose again from the dead, you are alive. And those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And help us to praise you and worship you and serve you with the breath that we have left and our time on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.